I've got a wonky stand here, so I'm going to look at my notes like this. Right. Good morning, everybody. Nice to be here. So good to worship the Lord. I love it. Freedom. That's what we have been given. And I just want to talk about something. At the beginning of the new year, I often get a little word, as in a word, that the Lord just, I don't know, something I'm reading or something that comes to me, I don't know. And this year, it was just this word lightness, and if you like, rest. And I guess in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, I want to live with a light heart. I want to live in lightness. And obviously, we were talking about light at Christmas. You know, the light came into the world. And I just had this little phrase that light came to give lightness to men. That's what he did for us. And it's a privilege to know him. It's a privilege to be able to sing these songs and experience that and know him and know that to be true for us. And, you know, it's not just about, well, obviously it's salvation, but he also teaches us how to live. And I believe he can teach us to have a lightness of heart. And I just want to say a few things about that, really. To live really in rest and to know God. He's a practical God, isn't he? And he's involved with us. But he really believe he's brought us to lightness. And that's what we can come to know. We all know David Bowie died a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was thinking about, you know, him. And it's interesting, isn't it, how he was a bit of a mess throughout his life and went through various identities. And did he have a lightness and a restless heart? I don't know, and who knows where he is. But I just find it interesting that the world reveres these celebrities, but actually they're not really steady people, if that makes sense. And God has come to really make us steady people. He's done it, but we can enter into that and walk with him in that, I believe. And one of the songs that came to me, or I heard during the David Bowie thing. And I will say this, actually, just to add this in. At one of the concerts, he actually got on his knees one time and said the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if anyone's seen that clip. If you put David Bowie, Lord's Prayer, in YouTube, he literally gets on, I think it's a Freddie Mercury tribute concert, and he gets on the floor on his knees, and he gets the whole stadium to say the Lord's Prayer. It's quite poignant, so anyway, I'll just say that in passing. But one of his songs was Under Pressure. And it's a great song. I like it. Nice little melody. But if you look at the words, it's, you know, pressure pushing down on me. Have you got the tune in your head? Pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man ask for. Under pressure that burns a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on streets. And then it goes on. It's the terror of knowing what this world is about. That's what he and obviously Freddie Mercury, they both wrote this song, I think, but this is their interpretation of life, of the world. Watching some good friends screaming, let me out, it's too pressurized, I can't take it, I can't take this burden, it's too much. I had a friend who took his own life years ago. He wasn't a Christian, he went to Buddhism and so on, but he was a man I knew, loved him, great friends. But really, he was saying, let me out. And he took his own life. But this is it, pressure. And it's a very real thing, isn't it? People living with pressure and burdens and not lightness. And people are under all sorts of pressure, burdens, and often brought about by circumstances. And sometimes those circumstances are a result of consequences of decisions they've made. People find themselves restless because of decisions they've made, situations they've put themselves in. And, you know, life is pressurized and a burden. And it's like the cause and effect principle. You know, God's put laws in this world. There's laws in this world of really kind of how to live that he's put in place. God is a God of order. We have to say that. He's radical. And he's all-loving and all-powerful, but there's kind of order through it. When you read right through the creation story, you see that. You know, Jesus says, I can't remember where it is, but he says, can grapes be gathered from thorn bushes? No. Can figs from thistles? No. Because there's a certain thing in place that a vine is going to produce grapes. It's just going to do it. You know, if a man wants to grow his crops, he's got to plow his field. He can't just sow his seed in some you know, hard ground. There's a process. He has to go through a cause to plow the ground, and then it's easier to sow, and then it's a healthier environment for those seeds to grow and to have a crop and to have a harvest. Just going through some cause and effect illustrations here. Baking a cake. I don't bake many cakes. Wendy does. But there's a process, you know. There's ingredients involved. There's things that have to happen to get a cake. It doesn't just happen. And there's a method involved in that as well, isn't there? If you don't mix all the ingredients in the right way, put the oven at the right temperature, you're going to have a saggy cake. You'll have a cake, but it might not be very pleasant. And if you eat too much cake, here's another one. If you eat too much cake, yeah, that's the cause, and you'll end up unhealthy. You know? And you might need to decide, perhaps I should put something different in my mouth. You know what I mean? So it's this sort of order. There's just an order to things. And it's great. And just one last one. I remember, this is more circumstantial, I used to work with young people, and I'd go and see young offenders in prison, young offenders institutes, and they were coming out in, say, 5 or 6 weeks, and I would go in and just meet with them at various times and have meetings with them with regards to what's going to happen when they come out. And often I'd hear a story that how did you get in? What brought you here? And they'd often be out with their mates on the street corner in Reading. This was all Reading, right? And you know, and they'd go off, and some, all of a sudden there'd be an opportunity, and you know, they might steal a car. It just happened. It just happened. But that person, he said, I didn't want to do that, but he was with the herd mentality, and he was with them. And all of a sudden, before he knows it, he's like, oh, right, okay, yeah, fine. And they're in a car, and they start, and then they get caught, and then he's got a 3-month, 6-month, 9-month prison sentence and an order to fulfil. Yeah. So circumstances. We put ourselves in circumstances. And in that sense, you know, when I used to speak to those young people, there was a sense of guilt and shame and regret and restlessness. You know, there's a cause to restlessness and, if you like, heaviness. But Jesus doesn't want us to live that way. And I think it is the same principle in faith. You know, the Christian life, we have got salvation. It's been laid on a plate for us. And there's a sense where we can just come and eat and take and be part of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Johnny last week, or the other week, was talking about seeking God's face. He wanted to seek his face. And, he's, you know, I remember him saying to Rach, you mind if I just spend some time this Christmas just seeking the Lord? He wanted to do it. He put himself in that place to just seek God's face because there's a desire to do it. There's salvation. There's relationship. There's the invite. And it's like, you know, we can do this. And there's a cause to rest. Larry talked about caves. Circumstances can put us in caves. And sometimes that's not all our fault. Do you know what I mean? But sometimes it is. And we can end up in a cave. And you know, how did I get here? And then you know, you can see the cause. The cause might be, as I say, not your fault. But you find yourself in a cave. So as much as restlessness has a cause, I hope you're catching this, rest has a cause. That's what I want to say. Rest has a cause. And lightness in our lives, there's a reason why we can know lightness, and it's fundamentally because of him. And we certainly don't get there by being religious. Jesus has come to give us a lightness. And I want to read something very familiar to us, but sometimes it's good just to, I don't know, dwell in some of these familiar passages and just have a look at them and say, well, what's it saying here? And so I want to look at Matthew 11, 25 to 30. I'll just read that. And Jesus here, really, he's telling us how to get rest. He's telling us how to live light. So verse 25, Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am meek and lowly in heart. You might say gentle and humble in heart in your version. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. And it's interesting thinking this through. Like, can Jesus just give us rest? He can. But is it? Can he just give us rest? Can I give you laughter? Can I give you pain? There's a sense where I can't give you pain or give you laughter. Something has to cause. Here we are, cause and effect again. Something has to cause you to laugh. I was in hysterics last night about something. I won't go into that. But it was just something that made me. I'm belly laughing. I'm talking belly laughing. But something caused that. You know, pain. If I want to inflict pain on Matt, if I can't say have pain, Matt. Just have it. Go on. I have to do something. I have to do something. There's a cause to the effect of ow. Yeah, and it may be more than that. Pleasure. I can't just give you pleasure. It's interesting when you think about. I love this. Thinking about these things. I can't just give you pleasure. We have to set up a certain circumstances in a certain way which causes pleasure. Like, we have to. I like football. You have to set up a time and say, where are we going to play? Right, okay, you go. And you go and you play. Hopefully you play well. And that causes pleasure. But it could be anything. Anything. A party, a nice time together. A lot of work goes into our church lunches, for example. And we have a nice time together. But there's causes to it. And then the effect is, what a great time we had. And there is a sense where a big personality does kind of bring a calm or a rest to a situation. They can't give it to you, but there is a sense of presence, and so much more Jesus. So there is a sense where he does give us rest. But I think by saying he gives us rest, he's kind of putting it in our way. We've not done anything. He's inviting us into rest. And we've not done anything, but he's kind of putting it in our way. It's the best way to describe it. Did I put that? Yeah, puts it in our way. He basically gives us the receipt for it and says, come and receive it. Come and receive rest. Come to me, he's saying, come to me. And you will find rest, he says later on. Jesus can't just say, here's rest, see you later. Yeah, he doesn't just go, have rest. It's long. It's like, he basically says to us, come to me and stay with me. And you'll find rest. We can't just get it. We don't just get it. It's like maybe there's a lot of Christians who are like that, get a shot in the arm. Hey, I'm saved. Woo! And crack on. No, the message of Jesus is, come to me and stay with me. And that's the cause, and you'll find rest, is really what he's saying. And he's saying here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Yeah, and you will find rest. He says, give rest, but then he says, you will find rest. And it's all about coming and staying with him. Not shot in the arm Christianity, but to stay with him. And I just love this, because this is all going to move you towards a lightness of heart, a lightness of spirit, and rest. That's what he does. He tells us to come and learn, and it's acquired, it's a process. You know, I think of Ephesians 4, where it says, I would turn to heaven, but where it says, until we come to a fullness of the stature of Christ. Paul's talked about, you know, that all the apostles, the prophets, etc., and the church have been built up for works of service. There's a process in becoming mature. And what maturity means is learning rest. I believe it's learning God's heart. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Abide in me, you know, abide in the vine. John 15, yeah. Yeah, it's the same principle. Abide. And if you abide, you'll find, to use the illustration, wine. Life, he might squeeze us a little bit, but he'll find wine because we're at rest and we can trust him. And that's the ongoing discipleship of our lives, really, with him. In relationship with him. So the cause of our rest is that we learn from Jesus. It's a relationship, it's not a religion. And I just like this. Come and learn from me, is what he says. So there appears to be a connection between learning rest, not earning it. We've been singing about the freedom we have, but Jesus says, come and get to know the freedom. It's there for you. Look, it's on a plate for you. But come and let me show you more. Let me show you more of my heart. So rest is something to be learned. There's a book, isn't it, called Practice the Presence of God? Again, same principle. Come and learn from me. But we don't like to associate rest with work, do we? No. I call it an educational process. It sounds so stupid, you know, but in one sense it is. You know, like a lot of you are students and you've signed up to a course that you felt that you wanted to do, and you got your place at uni, and you went, great, I'm going to study whatever, sports science. Paddy does sports science, if you do. And, you know, it's like, brilliant, I'm doing something I really want to do. But man alive, I bet it's hard at times. You know, I've been through that process, and you go through it and you go, fantastic, what a chance to study this for 3 years. Whoa. But man alive, it was hard at times. And there's a wrestling involved and a sort of squeezing. Do you know what I mean? But it's all good stuff, and it's all part of the cause and effect thing that Jesus wants us to learn, but he's with us in the whole process. Let's look at Jesus. Talk about someone who knew rest. Someone who was like just harangued from every side, every corner. Pharisees were giving him loads, and so many people were anti him. He got so much grief. But he had disciples, he had followers who were like, well, hang on a minute. This guy's fulfilling something. He's telling us, and I can see this. No, we've got to hang around with him. We've got to learn from him. But Jesus, although he was, you know, under it, he was inside. You have to say he was. He's God. He was at rest. He was at calm. And it's that he wants to give to us as we walk with him. He must have just been so wonderful to be with, you know, and had such a restfulness about him. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation in coming to us. His heart, he knew where he was fixed, and we read that in Philippians, he made himself of no reputation. So whatever was coming at him, it didn't sit. It was irrelevant because he was at rest. He was in the lowest place. Jesus was in the lowest place. And nothing could affect him. And he says here what he is. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And that's what he's telling us. He's saying, come and learn from me, and you'll find, and if you spend time with me, you'll probably become meek and lowly in heart as well. And you'll know this peace and gentleness. So to be meek and lowly, it's like Jesus is saying, this will cause rest. Learn from me. Learn to be like me. And meekness isn't weakness, is it? Meekness is there's something about submission to the Father, and that's what Jesus... He was meek, and he was lowly in heart because he came to... he stooped to us. But this is what he's saying. Learn meekness. Learn lowliness. And how contrary that is to the world with all its ambition and seeking the high place... Seeking more money. How much dosh have you got? Yeah, loads. You know, seeking the position and the authority. And Jesus let go of that. Everything that Jesus did is opposite to what we hear out there in the world. He's saying, I'm going to lead you to be meek and lowly. But it's not weakness. I wrote this as I was reading this. I came to this thing. And it says, he leads us in meek and lowliness of heart. And it's not... It's to serve. We'll serve from the low place. He came down from heaven and he served. He said that. He said, I have not come to be served, but to serve. He was meek and lowly in heart. Everything about him was of no reputation. And he chose the low place, but it was so that he could serve. So I wrote this down. So the low place is not for you and me. It's for others. I just find that interesting. Do you know what I mean? It's like... It's not like get to the low place. Get low, and you know, there you're. It's not that. It's for others. And Jesus is for us. He came down and laid himself down for us. He served us in giving us salvation. Those beautiful things we've sung today, freedom in Christ, free from a burden, and he's given it to us. But he made himself low, and he's saying, if you come and learn from me, he's saying, you know, you'll come to a meekness and a lowliness of heart, and you'll find that you'll want to serve and you'll want to spend time with me. I came across it illustrating water doesn't rest until it gets to the lowest place. And that's the analogy. You know, if you go through potholes, you know, there's water comes through, you know, on the surface, but it goes through caves and canyons and things, and it's finding its way, but it gets to the low place and it rests. And there's something about that. And it's not, as I said, I want to make sure this isn't about being in the low place. It's about being in the low place because you'll serve. That makes sense. So God stooped. If you think about this, in God coming and finding us, and we learn about salvation, when you first heard about salvation and then as it's sort of sunk in, does it not lighten you? It does me. You know, if I have a time with God and I just, wow, Lord, and it just lightens things. And we can know that in our everyday situations. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that he's done for us. So we can come to him and we can learn from him. And we're going to be learning love. We're going to be learning joy, peace, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, all these things. But in this passage he's saying, I'm meek, I'm lowly. If you spend time with me, you'll become meek and lowly and humble. But it's for service. So he talked about a yoke. And sometimes, you know, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And in talking about a yoke, that could seem like he is adding something on us. He's adding some kind of additional weight. Oh, thanks very much, Lord. You know, I don't want a yoke. You know, and that's what most people think about Christianity. You know, it's this hard thing where you've got to go to church and you've got to read your Bible and, oh, it just seems a bit of a weight. Do you know what I mean? And it's just the whole, that perception, I often say it, the perception of people about what Christianity is and relationship with God is that. He just wants to put rules on me and religious observances, and it's far from it. He does not want to do that. Jesus is often seen as a taskmaster, and Christians are to be pitied because they're under this taskmaster, and it's not true. We know that. But he wants us to learn from him. And imagine if, I just threw this in, imagine if the whole world lived in meekness and lowliness of heart. That the whole world, we wouldn't have the wars, we wouldn't have the things, it'd be heaven, actually. It would be actually what heaven's going to be like. You know, everyone serving the Lord, but serving each other, you know, and meek and lowliness. No one trying to be anything. And this is what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. He's going to gather his church, all those who are in him, learning from him, genuinely. He knows, you know, what does he say somewhere? He knows his own. You know, those who say, but I said, Lord, Lord. He said, but I don't know you. He knows the ones who have come to him and who are learning from him. And he's going to bring us into a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be full of people like Jesus. We're going to be changed into the image of Jesus, and everything's going to be peaceful. We're going to be meek and lowly. But you know what I mean? It's going to be, well, we can't imagine what it's going to be like. So this yoke is not what the world can perceive it to be. Jesus made yokes. He was a carpenter, and a yoke was for, let me get this right. So the yoke, right, used on the beasts, the oxen and so on, was made the weight of the plow light and easier to work. This is why he's using the illustration. Without it, the plow was a burden and intolerable. And it wasn't an instrument of torture, but it was an instrument of mercy. We sang about God's mercy. It was to make the work easier for the, whatever it was, oxen. A gentle device to make hard labor light. That's what it says when you look it up. And Jesus would have made loads of yokes, so he knew what he was talking about in the carpentry. He knew the difference between a rough one and a nice smooth one that would sit nicely on the animal's neck. And he knew the difference between a good fit and a bad fit. And he would make probably the best yoke, and he has made a yoke for us, and something that's not irritable. There's no pain involved. It was light, a good fit. And he talks about the burden. What is the burden? Well, I kind of illustrated that before. The burden he's talking about really is life. Life is a burden. You know, I used those lyrics before, and mankind has to bear it. Every single person has to bear the reality of life with all its things that happen. and the world's sort of quest, if you like, is to how do we handle this? Not that they would say, how do I handle this burden? They don't. It's life. How do I get through this? What do I do? It's just not making sense. I feel so pressurized. I'm under pressure the whole time. What do I do with it? This has been the whole world's search for meaning. It still is. Life is so heavy for me. I can't take it. It doesn't make sense. And people are restless in it because they don't find a solution. You know that song, Under Pressure? It's like, it's true. You know, it's like Freddie Mercury and David Bowie have kind of just said, this is our interpretation of life. And they've just made this little song about it. And there's all sorts of songs, isn't there? Most of it is life experiences of songs, and usually about relationships that are broken down. If you look at the lyrics of songs, a lot of it is just misery. do you know what I mean? Ed Sheeran, I heard him say one time, I think he thinks he's written one joyful song, one positive song. The rest of it is all about, I can't think of one of his songs now, but do you know what I mean? It's all, but they're nice tunes, nice melodies. But it's all about, you know, life and burden. And so on. But yeah, so this song is just an... Yeah, you're right. But there's no solution in it. It's like it ends like this. Caring about ourselves. This is our last dance. This is our last dance. This is ourselves under pressure. Under pressure. Pressure. That his conclusion is that. This is my conclusion. We're just under pressure. We are just under pressure, Bowie. What do you reckon? You know, there's no solution. There's just no solution to it. And here we've got a solution. Jesus is saying, I understand the burden of life. I understand it because I created life. I created you. I'm the creator. I know how to deal with it. And the answer is, if you want to know how to do something, you probably best go in with the boss. And he says this day, he says, come to me, I'm the boss. I understand. And I understand how to... I understand how life works. Come to me. Learn from me. Stay close to me. Interpret it in light of what I say to you. Carry it as I do. Let me carry it with you. The burden of life. Salvation has come. He said, look, I've done it all. Receive that, and that's the big commission, isn't it? We go out there and we tell people about it. Will they receive it? And hopefully people will, and then come into this relationship of learning from God, learning from Jesus Christ, learning, being listening to the Holy Spirit and learning from him. It's beautiful. It's a person. This again is another little thing I wrote down. This is a personal education from a personality who happens to be God. I'm a bit nervous about the education bit, but you get what I'm saying. It's a relationship. We learn by living with him, and this is it. He teaches us the ways of his heart. That's what he's saying here. I want to know the ways of God's heart. I want to know how to live light, because we can. It's not a striving. It's not an earning, but we can find. Jesus said, he doesn't just give us rest. He does, but he says, come find it. Come and stay close to me. Learn of me. This is relationship, not a set of rules. It is our creator walking through life with us, yoked with us, if you like to use the illustration. And imagine having, just say you were yoked with Jesus. You know, you've got his encouragement. He's just going to speak to you the whole time, so you can do this. I know you can do this. I love you. Come on, let's talk. Let's, you know, he's in it with us. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. And imagine life without the yoke of Jesus' care and concern, because that's what it is. Jesus' yoke is light and easy because in it he shows care and concern for us, and he can speak to us and lighten the load. But imagine your life without the yoke of Jesus. You understand what I mean when I say that the yoke of Jesus? Without his care and concern, without his involvement in your life. Imagine it without the knowledge of his salvation. And we certainly know as Christians, as disciples of him, as, you know, people who are Christian and have a relationship with God, we know that life, we're not going to avoid burdens. I think naively, when I first became a Christian, I thought perhaps, God, I just sort it all out now. You know, very naively. But he doesn't, and he doesn't say that there isn't going to be burdens, but he's going to teach us how to carry it. And if we didn't have burdens, we wouldn't be living, wouldn't be life. What a relationship with the Lord does, if you like, what Christianity does, if I can say that, it makes it, I didn't even like this actually, but it makes it tolerable. That's got a negative connotation, but it does, in a sense. Giving life purpose, direction. I'm sure if I said to you, what was your life like before? I know I would say, I didn't have any purpose. I didn't know why I was here. I was trying to carry this burden of life, but it didn't make sense to me, so I just used to do what I did, and that just sort of alleviated the pressure for a while, and then back to it. But he's come to give it meaning, perspective. These words, purpose, direction, meaning, perspective, these are all the things that God has come to do for us. I came across this illustration. Two painters were asked to paint their impressions of rest. Yeah, paint what you think rest is. You know, give us a visual. And one of them painted this lovely, still lake, if you like, with big mountains in the background, some lovely trees. I'm thinking probably in the Rockies or something like that. So, and this nice, calm water. Trees, mountains, lovely. Another guy painted, started with this waterfall, torrent. Massive waterfall, and then gradually he drew this tree, a little birch tree, growing out from the rock. You know, waterfalls, you sometimes got trees just sort of coming out, and he drew a tree, and the branch came sticking out, and the water's crashing here, but the branch is just here, right in it almost. But and then there's a little nest with a robin just sat in it, hearing the torrent. Yeah, he's, that's rest. And I think, if I'm honest, I think sometimes I have tried to escape the realities of life. That's what Buddhism is. They try and, you know, Nirvana, I've got to try and forget this. You can't. You can't do it. But I love that illustration. Little robin in his nest, torrent. That's what life can be, a torrent. It can be noise. It can be moist. It can just be annoying. But there's, you know, we can know a lightness of heart and rest despite life. And Jesus' invite is, come on, stay with me, learn from me. I can lighten this for you. And I guess what I'm doing in all this is an encouragement to us all to, as Johnny said the other week, seek the Lord's face. Spend time with him. And it's not to earn anything. I trust we all really know that. It's not to earn anything, but it's to come and learn his ways, learn his heart, hear the whisper, despite the torrent of the waterfall, despite what you're going through. We can know a rest. And I think it's beautiful. He calls us to himself so that he would lead us in the best and happiest way to live in lightness. Jesus is awesome. I'm going to finish with this. By coming to him, we find that the burden of life is adjusted, shifted. It's kind of not there because he's with it in it with us, and we can know him. Johnny finished with this the other week, and I'm going to finish with it as well, because it's one of my favourites, but it's that, turn your eyes upon Jesus, come to him, learn from him, spend time with him, let him adjust your burden, enter his burden, take his burden, his yoke on you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is reality. This is truth, what we're hearing here. What Jesus says there. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Learn his heart. Understand his eyes are smiling at you. His gaze is for you. It's not against you. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim, if you like. The things of life, the burden of life, will become light. And then it finishes in the light of his glory and his grace. Learn from him. We're to learn from Jesus. Learn the ways of his heart. That's what he's saying. And in light here, it is in contrast to the Pharisees, who were saying, you've got to do this. We've got to hold to the law. You know, and the Pharisees, they added things. You know, there was the law, that was one thing, but then the tradition of the elders, you'll hear Jesus talk about that when he has a go at the Pharisees throughout some of the Gospels. He says, and the traditions of the elders, well, that was just people over time said, well, and I also think we should add this one to the law, because that's not right either. And this one, so there was about, I forget, but it's like hundreds of things that the tradition of the elders put on people. That's why he says, you put millstones around people's necks, and they're like this. Oh, I can't take this life. What am I? I've got to do this, I've got to... And Jesus is saying, no, he's saying, come to me. I'm not about that. I fulfilled all that anyway. Just kick it into touch. You're not going to earn anything. You just come to me and you'll find, as you stay with me, you'll find rest. Despite the waterfall, we'll find rest. It's a beautiful thing. I'm going to pray and we'll finish. Lord, I do thank you for the realities of what we find in you. Lord, a God, a creator who loves, who wants us to live light, who doesn't want us to be anxious about the day. We can just pray and know that you are sovereign and leave things to you and just walk. Your yoke, Lord, is easy and your burden is light. That's your command to us. Lord, help us to trust that. Help us to trust your heart. Help us to learn your ways, Lord. I want to learn new ways, Lord, of your heart. Lord, we are thankful for a heavenly Father, Lord, and we're thankful that you ever sent your Son who stooped, Lord, in meekness and lowliness for others. You did it for us, Lord. And we understand, Lord, as we learn from you, Lord, you will call us to service. That's the church. We've been called and we're built up for works of service, Lord. Let us know. Teach us what they are. Help us to know where to serve, how to serve. Doesn't matter what it is, but that the attitude is meek and lowly, Lord. Teach us that continually, Lord. We love to learn from you. Help us to submit and to just take that time to hear what you're saying to us. Lord, praise your name for what you've done. Praise your name for what we've sung this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being together and being able to carry life together as a church. Lord, teach us to be like Jesus. Lord, praise your name. Amen.